Yeah, could I have a marshmallow sundae, please? And maybe just a little sprinkles? Sprinkles, those little sort of like pill-shaped, tiny, I mean, pills if they were very small pills, like nano pills. Well, not nano pills, because those would be unable to be seen by the human eye, but they're sort of pill-shaped, and they're very small. Sometimes they're called nonpareils, I think, which is French for has no equal, I believe, but I don't know why that would be applied to something you put on top of a marshmallow. Yeah, dumps. Okay, dumps. That's fine. Yeah, dumps would be great. Hi, folks. Welcome to the diner. I'm James Lilac, sitting here at my accustomed place at the long boomerang pattern for bucket counter, the old diner on an old Highway 23, about 17 and a half multiverses from wherever you happen to be at the moment. Just had an interesting conversation there with the waitress. I wanted a marshmallow sundae, which are delicious. They really are. And I wanted sprinkles on it for some reason. I don't know why. I usually don't have sprinkles because they're pointless. But for some reason, just the idea of the whiteness of the marshmallow sundae needed the gaiety, shall we say, to if that word can still... I'm looking around here. I guess that word doesn't mean that here. The happiness of a colorful variety of small little pieces of sugar. But they don't they don't call them sprinkles here. They call them dumps. Because apparently you just dump a handful over them instead of sprinkling them. Well, that's one of the strange things about this incrementally different universe here, and I'll tell you a little bit more that I've discovered. I did get my phone charged, as I was talking about last week. I was worried that actually I was actually home, but didn't know it because my phone didn't ring or buzz because it was dead. But I charged it up and, nah, nothing. I'm still wherever I happen to be. But here's what I've been wondering. See, the whole thing about traveling through incrementally different multiverses is such a cliche. Such an obvious, predictable plot that it makes me wonder, maybe this is all a dream. I mean, because that's just as predictable, right? I mean, getting into a phone booth and going to a different place, that's a cliche. But an even worse cliche is that it's all a dream. So it's possible that I'm having a dream about a cliche. I'm having a cliche about a cliche. And I'll wake up in the shower, maybe. I don't know. Well, we've yet to see. In any case, if this is a reality, a real reality in which I find myself, I've discovered a few more differences. One of them was sort of embarrassing. I was downtown, and I was going to the Fauché Tower, which in my place is a hotel. It's a beautiful 1929 skyscraper that was built by a guy named Wilbur Fauché, who cobbled together several utilities empires until the whole thing collapsed and he went to jail. He went to Leavenworth. And his name is emblazoned in lights up in the sky, so every night Minneapolitans can cast their eyes towards downtown and see the name of a felon. Granted, he had everything washed away in the end by Harry Truman, but still, you know, it just didn't go well with him. I think one of the problems... they might have seen this coming, is that when Wilbur had a big ceremony to inaugurate the opening of the tower, he had something like 25,000 guests. He couldn't have had that many, for heaven's sakes, but he had a lot of people come by, and there was lots of food, and there were children dancing around and strewing flowers, and there was a special march by Sousa. He commissioned Sousa at the cost of something like 25 grand to give him a march. Sousa said, sure. Wilbur gave him a check. Check bounced. The march was never played for decades until finally people who were inheritors of the estate and its liabilities paid off the Sousa estate, at which point it could be played again. But yeah, I don't think you don't bounce a check to J.P. Sousa. Anyway, it's the Fauché Tower to me. And I was talking to somebody in the lobby about it, about how I remember very young age going to the top of it. And I said, you know, when you're growing up in Fargo, the tallest building you could possibly imagine was the Fauché Tower. And he looked at me and he said, say it again. And I said, say what, Fargo? He said, no, the way you pronounce the building. And I said, well, Fauché Tower. And he laughed and he said, it's Fashy. It's the Fashy Tower. And I sort of said, where are you from? What part of the world do you hail from? And he said, born and raised right here in Minneapolis. Fashy Tower, we've always called it that. So I went outside and I looked, and sure enough, the letters were slightly different on the Fauché Tower. which made me look like an idiot for the way that I pronounced it. So that's one difference. Maybe in this universe, come to think of it, Wilbur didn't go to jail. Huh. Maybe his check to Sousa cleared. Maybe he lived his life up there in the penthouse, a prosperous existence until he finally fell over at his desk, captain of industry, in the yoke until the last moment. What if everybody got a happy ending in this incrementally different universe? Well, no, that wouldn't work. I mean, because that would have to include Hitler and Stalin. Leonard. No. No. Can't be. Well, I don't know. Maybe it is. Let me... I should check the history a little bit more. Let me play a tune here, and I'm going to check my history book and see exactly what happened to Stalin in this IDU. Let's go to C1. Wait a minute. I know this one. Yes. It's the Fauché March. Fauché, Fauché, Fauché. For Wilbur we say hooray. Fauché, Fauché, Fauché. For Wilbur we say hooray. For bookkeeping, odd and securities fraud, he eventually went away. That's great. Well, that's interesting. What are the odds that that would come up upon randomly stabbing the jukebox? But still, I was going to research Stalin, wasn't I? See if he had a happy ending. So, yeah, let's go to another one. Let's go to D1. He's the one and he's the only one. What in the name of Alexander Kerensky? Boy, shit, boy. What is this crap? Seriously? Okay, got enough! Gah. What kind of a jukebox has a Sousa march and a techno hymn to Stalin? They're like the absolute opposites of things. They're like matter and antimatter. Maybe in the future they will power spacecrafts by the controlled, careful reaction of the energy flow between a Sousa March record and a Stalin hymn. Captain, we've lost the mediating crystal. What did you use? Well, we had a Barry Manilow song that we put in between them and it kept them from touching, but now the magnetic bottle's gotten all... Right. How stupid do you have to be to have a hymn to Stalin in 2018? Well, he beat Hitler. Yeah, because it took him twice as long because he killed everybody who might have helped him at the beginning of the war. Anyway, called up the Wikipedia on Stalin here, and from what I can tell, he died in the same year in this incrementally different universe as he did in mine, but of different causes. Seems that he was keen to observe some of the nuclear blasts and stood a little bit too close and contracted radiation poisoning and had a long and lingering painful death that went for over a year. Good. Good. Well, let's see what else the jukebox has here. It can be, oh, there's my Sunday. Whoa. I see why they call them dumps. That's a lot of sprinkles. Or a lot of dumpage, whatever they happen to call it. Let's see what else they have here. I mean, they can't all be strange songs about historically divisive figures. Let's try M. No, N1. These are some good dumps.
Could I have some more? Some more dumps would really hit the spot. Thank you.
Well, they're good.
God, in his infinite wisdom, put Richard Nixon on this earth.
For God's sake.
To bring to us his heritage, one of priceless worth. A courageous leader and a blessed man. Surely, in God's plan.
I guess this is the 18 and a half minutes where there aren't any lyrics.
God in his infinite wisdom put Richard Nixon on this earth.
A man
to bring to us
whose genitalia did not rival Johnson's with its girth.
Worth.
sorry.
His heritage is from heaven, and the magic from above, the rapture of music and melody, of culture and of love. Yes, God in his infinite wisdom put Richard Nixon on this earth to bring
but God was unable to give me an idea for a second verse.
Earth. A leader with endless courage, a miracle you might say, and all who have met Nixon love him so, the genius of his way. God in his infinite wisdom put Richard Nixon on this earth to bring to us his heritage, one of priceless worth. God in his infinite wisdom put Richard Nixon on this earth to bring to us his heritage, one of priceless worth.
Wouldn't that be more awesome if William Shatner had done it? God, in his infinite wisdom, put Richard Nixon on this earth. Do you understand? Everything would be better if Shatner did it. My hands are all sticky from the... excuse me. Sorry. My hands... tickly throat. My hands are all sticky from the marshmallow dump, so I'm going to use the restroom and splash water all over the place. Enjoy, if you will, a word from one of our sponsors.
Do you remember... How long has it been since you've really felt like dancing? What's stopping you? Minor pains of arthritis or rheumatism? Well, then it's time to massage in new mentholatum deep heat rub. Its major active ingredients really promote a warm, soothing effect within 30 seconds. You'll see that deep heat rub is absorbed by the skin. For effective temporary relief from the minor pains of arthritis or rheumatism, use greaseless, stainless new mentholatum deep heat rub.
Deep heat.
Deep heat. Yes, that was the stuff that would make your marrow boil. So deep was the heat. I don't think we ever had mentholatum when I was growing up. We were more of a Vicks VapoRub family. And I don't quite remember knowing exactly what it was supposed to do. It was rubbed on your chest. Does it then soak in through your skin and your muscles and in your lung exterior into the inside? Was that how it worked? No. I mean, it took me a long time to figure out that actually the vapors would come off of your chest and you'd inhale them, and that was supposedly what would make things better. Sorry. You know, I could use some of that stuff maybe in a while. I've got a little tickle in my throat here. Hold on, I'm going to try to catch the waitress's eye. Excuse me, could I have some hot tea and lemon? Yeah, I've just got a little scratchy throat. Hope it doesn't turn into a cold. What did I say? Why are you all looking at me? I'm fine. That's odd. Oh. Why is everybody so upset over the fact that I'm sneezing just a little bit? I'm getting some nasty, hard looks here. This might require some Googling. I'm going to play something in the jukebox here. While I research this, I'll be back to you in just a second. Let's go to F1.
Glad when you
Okay, well, I did some research on Google in this incrementally different universe. It's called Goo-hoo. Yeah, there was a merger. And apparently they cured the common cold back in 1947. You know, they had a miracle drug breakthrough. Nobody gets it. But vaccines are mandatory, and those who do not take them and show signs of symptoms of the cold are subject to mandatory hospitalization for an indeterminate period. And there's a line here on Goohoo about how people who go into hospitals for this are not always seen again. So, yeah, I'm out of here. Back, I'm going to hit the phone booth. Last thing I need to be is arrested for having a cold. People never heard of Purell. Don't you have Purell here? No? Yeah, well, look into it. It's great stuff. Lifesaver. Man, what if I've been bringing diseases from one IDU to the next? What if I'm like a Spanish conquistador who's brought the version of smallpox, or for all I know, smallpox, to another incrementally different universe, and I've left a series of populated worlds in my wake, lifeless now that I've gone? Well, that's the advantage to having an infinite number of universes, I suppose. You got spares. Still. All right. I'm going to off to the phone booth. Here we go. One of these days, I'm going to find a phone booth and an IDU that takes Apple Pay. That would be nice.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service. If you feel you have reached this recording in error, please check the number and try your call again.
Yeah, well, that's what I've been doing for 14 weeks. 15 weeks. 16. Oh, ooh. Ooh. Sometimes I feel that my spine, sometimes in my teeth. I'm feeling this one of my sinuses. Yeah, I might be coming down with something. All right. Here we go. My nose is clear. throat doesn't feel itchy anymore. Huh. Well, maybe I just had a bug back there, and somehow the biofilters in this thing got rid of it. If there are biofilters. Who knows what that foam... Oh. Oh, this is not good. Oh. Wow. Oh. Wow, okay, it's very dark in this diner. There's just a few strips of blue neon light on the ceiling. Customers, all men, trench coats, fedoras, of all things, hunched over cups of coffee and what appear to be bowls of noodles. It's very damp. It's so damp, and it's humid, and it's wrong somehow. There are these lights on the parking lot stabbing the ground from above, like they're from. So let me go take a look and see if I can see what's up there. It's like an enormous silent Zeppelin up there with an ad on the side for Atari. Atari! I ended up in an incrementally different universe where Atari is still a going concern. That Bushnell character, the President of the United States or something. Oh my God, there's another one for Pan Am. There's so many people outside. That's just bizarre to me because the diner's out on old Highway 23, right? It's a long time, long ways from anywhere. 17 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be at the moment. But in this incrementally different universe, the diner seems to be in the middle of some sort of enormous megalopolis. I mean, I can see it now. I can see building upon building and smoke and fire shooting from tall smokestacks. Flying car. This is all familiar somehow. I'm trying... It makes me wonder, am I human in this incrementally different universe? Maybe I'm a replicant. Maybe everything that I've thought before was simply an implanted memory, programmed, and that I've always been here, and that I came to being at the moment that I stepped out of the phone booth, which is where the replicants have their memories implanted, and everything that I know before about all the other journeys that I've taken through the IDUs, in fact, my entire life stretching back to Fargo, to the earliest memory, is all an implant. It's all false. What was my first memory? First memory. Fargo. Yes, Fargo, that's it. I was going up the stairs. Our house on 8th Street, the old one, not the new one we moved into. My dad is chasing me, and I'm having fun, and I'm happy. I remember that the stairs went up in a triangular fashion. As they turned the corners, the stairs turned into triangles. I remember those. I remember the metal strip. I remember the black linoleum. Or do I? How do I find out if I'm real or not? I mean, the whole Blade Runner thing, right? I mean, that's what I'm talking about. That's... Well, I've got some time to find out, don't I? All right, well, this should be interesting. Checking, I've got my phone. I have cards. I've got a gun. Well, this is going to be really interesting. All right. Well, we'll meet soon. I hope. Again, I hope. Thanks for joining me, folks. I'm James Lilex, and this has been The Diner. And I'll see you, I hope, down the road. Maybe that road's in the sky because I got flying cars here. Pretty cool.
Simpsons. Where a kid can be a kid